This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Belize and Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes. Alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or even unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, the game starts here. And before we start, we did announce last week our winner of the best burger in the River Valley, Black Dog Meat Company in Boonville, won that fan vote by, when it come to a rundown between them and the Burger Forge, had the chance to go there today with the family, and they just welcomed us with open arms, had a table waiting on us with their name. It was really cool. And Adam, you know, certain spots have that one go-to, that signature item that they're known for. They had five or six different styles of burgers, and every single one of them were a 9.5 and above. And this is no joke. Everybody, they had different burgers, and I couldn't tell which one I liked the best. That's how good it was. And they had the hand cut fries and that sauce, mm-hmm. that you get the cane sauce, or you know, like their own. But man, James over there at the Black Dog Meat Company, I mean, outdid themselves today.
Yeah, I've heard all good things. I mean, even before you had gone down there today, I've never been, but we'll get down there sooner or later.
Well, and we drove an hour. Like I live in Mulberry, and I was at work and had to do some stuff over in Boonville anyway. But my family met me over there and drove from Mulberry. I mean, it was worth the hour drive to head over there. I think they're open 11 to 2 Monday to Friday, and I think they started last Saturday 5 to 8. But I got the triple pepper, which had three different kind of cheeses, and then it had a jalapeno kind of mayonnaise stuff. But man, I made the mistake of ordering fries with every burger.
Don't do that. Yeah.
I mean, they had a table. It looked like a picnic table, and it was just full of fries. So definitely head over there. Again, by far, it is the new king. It was better than Hugo's. So that right now is the king of the mountain. I told them what we'll do is we're going to go to Central Arkansas next. So the best burger in the Central Arkansas has to beat Black Dog. And I'm telling you, I'm putting everybody on notice in the state of Arkansas. It's going to be hard to beat that one. And I'm a burger foodie type of guy. And it was, when you have six people say that it was the best burger they've had, that just tells you where it ranks on the burger in the state of Arkansas.
It was a bunch of feedback as we got from the River Valley one. I expect that the Central Arkansas one will be primed and ready to go.
But now getting into the show, again, I mean, a bunch of news today. We have, you know, Skip going on about the draft and Cal. And look, I made the comment. It was funny who kind of liked it and retweeted it. There were some people at the university who kind of caught wind of it. But, you know, they were talking about all the publicity that Cal's getting at the draft and this and that. And it made me think, like, he's getting the same kind of publicity as Musselman was, but he's with NBA superstars. He's at the draft, and Musselman's trying to get Snoop Dogg backstage at the AMP. I mean, there's just a big difference of we can all say it now. We wanted to say it then, but never did. But, you know, it was just a bunch of randomness. He would be at the Padres game, and he was taking a picture with this person, or he'd be at this stadium. I know he's trying to get the brand out, but it was almost like he was just trying to get any kind of publicity with any kind of person he could. But Cal walks in the room, and it's like they're going to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, Musselman trying to build his brand, you know, and we're seeing it at USC. Yes, there's been former Arkansas players that Cal has had visit him at USC. And I know one of the random ones, I think it was last week, and I forget everybody that was in it, but I know, you know, Chet Holmgren was one of the three that visited him. And it was just kind of, you know, random in that sense. But, you know, he's going to have that being in Los Angeles. You know, that's something that he's going to get. Here's the thing is, you know, you're curious. And when you talk about the different levels of their celeb status, if you will, you know, Musselman's the one taking these pictures and posting them typically, or at least when he was at Arkansas. And people are posting about Calipari. He's not. So just, you know, their status levels are a bit different, and that's not a shot necessarily. It's just Cal's been around the block a bit longer, and you know that clip with the from Undisputed, Skip actually mentions, you know, his relationship with the media and what it is.
Yeah.
So that's just where, you know, he walks in the room and people are looking at him versus he's not seeking people out necessarily for a photo op.
Well, and it just shows about the fan base too, is as much as, and this is the thing for you Kentucky fans that say you're so glad to have him gone and you wanted him gone and blah, but you're still, every time we say anything about Cal, you're still the first ones to jump in our mentions. And it was funny, like, there's people like, well, there's more Kentucky people in here talking about Cal than Arkansas fans. It's because we respect what we have and we're not living rent free. We're not jumping into Kentucky. We're not jumping in Kentucky mentions anymore about Pope. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not. We've moved on. And it's like, for somebody who you wanted to become so bad, you're really quick to sit there and jump on the, you know, every post that we do, it has to do with Cal and talking about, and they're just throwing out strays of, oh, well, you're trying to take credit for the NBA draft people that he's drafted. They're already Razorbacks. It's like, we're not doing that. We're talking about the coach we have now. And they're just trying to do anything they can to make it about them.
Well, and, you know, thinking about it over the last week, especially during the draft and the publicity that he got from it, you know, just thinking back to the divorce is basically what we've deemed as what it was. And then to where we are now, you know, I've seen a lot of the comments that have been basically Kentucky fans trying to say, like, they're the bigger brand. And I got to thinking about that, you know, kind of that statement and the statements on, you know, oh, the University of Calipari, and that's what we are now because it's not Arkansas and this and that. Okay, I'm not going to discredit what Kentucky has done in the past or what Kentucky is. Kentucky is a big brand. Calipari is a big brand. You had two big brands that came together, and the sour grapes of it all is there's a lot of, not all of them, a lot of Kentucky fans that are trying to discredit Calipari for what he was able to do and he was able to bring in. They think that it was all because of the name Kentucky, and that's not the case. You had a little bit, but you didn't have it all. And something that was brought up too by Keyshawn Johnson on that clip is, you know, you look at Rick Pitino, you look at Tubby Smith, you look at John Calipari. One title, one title, one title.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all put Tubby Smith and Pitino on a pedestal. You absolutely mm-hmm. love them. You wanted Pitino in the talks before Pope on, I mean, whether it was a joke or not, talking about if he was going to come back. You love these guys that only got you one title, but Calipari's one title wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of like, what are we doing here?
But, you know, when we were talking off air about that, I mean, if you want to play the clip, we could play the clip for context and then revisit that. Because yeah. I really want to mention the other schools that weren't mentioned in this clip.
All right.
Yeah. So Skip, he read off that list, right? And that's just Coach Cal. If you go all the way back to Rick Pitino and you run off that list, it's going to be the same type of list.
Yeah.
It really is. And they only got one. And then you go to Tubby.
They got
you run off. No, Rick only got one in Kentucky.
Well,
right?
Tubby got one. That's right.
Yeah, Tubby got one. So if you run off Tubby's list,
yeah.
he got one.
Right.
It's hard to win.
That's true. It's true.
They all going to have these players because it's Kentucky.
Yep.
I know Coach Cal. You really know Coach Cal. I don't know if you've been around him mm-hmm. a little bit here and there.
A little bit here and there.
He's really fun to be around because he's a really good dude.
Yeah.
Is it possible he's a great recruiter who's a pretty lousy basketball coach? Is that possible?
No.
It's possible.
No, not at all. Okay?
Because I can make a case that no program in the history of college basketball has underperformed like all of his Kentucky teams underperformed.
Mm-hmm. And his absurdity goes beyond that. But I want to just, when I said, you know, look, what about Bill Self at Kansas? What about Coach K? What about, you know, what's North Carolina done? What's Duke done? What has all the Blue Bloods done? How rare is it for even a guy to win? Look at Dan Hurley at UConn, back-to-back. First time it's been done in forever. And they were alluding to how hard it was to win a national championship. But Bill Self got a lifetime contract. Coach K got a lifetime contract. You know, Pitino at Louisville is still wanting to pledge to Kentucky. I mean, yes, Kentucky is the brand, but so is Notre Dame football. So is the Dallas Cowboys. So is the New England Patriots post Tom Brady. So is the Yankees. I mean, they're brands, but what does that brand get you when it comes to success? It doesn't transition now in a relevant terms in modern times. If you want to count all 16 of Notre Dame's national championships from the 60s to the 50s and 40s when they were playing people, you know, Yale School of the Arts. You know, look, Yale has 17 national championships. Do we want to crown them as the best program ever? You know, you have to put it in. Yes, there is a brand. You are, but what does that brand mean nowadays? Why do you think NIL is a big deal that it is right now? Brand doesn't mean as much as what it used to. If brand meant that, Arkansas wouldn't be getting the 4 and 5 stars as they are because it's the program. So you can boast about brand all you want, but that only gets you the money part of it. Get the success part of it. Look at Gonzaga. We talked about, is Dave Van Horn the Gonzaga of college baseball? That is success. You don't have the national championships, but you have the success of 20-something years of making it to Omaha, winning your conference, putting multiple people in the Major League Baseball, in MLB. What has any of them other Blue Bloods done that Skip's saying, name one other program? Kansas, Duke, North Carolina.
Well, he brought up, you know, he basically tried saying on that clip at the end of it, take those same players that got drafted, so Reed Shepard and Dillingham, and he said, give them and a bunch of other basically roster of good players and give them to Coach K. Would he do the same? And like, he couldn't answer. It was, you know, he basically, well, they'd go far, you know, but he, you know, not win at all. And, you know, their point was just the day and age that we're in. Yes, it's hard to win a national title. Plus, these kids, a lot of them, you're one and done's. And, you know, it was brought up in reality is like 6 or 7 months. It's really not a whole, you know, it's not a one and done. They're not necessarily in the same mindset. You know, you want to bring up Coach K. His success was the guys that were 3 and 4 years at Duke. When he tried the one and done thing, it didn't really pan out. And we, you know, we saw that with Zion. So, you know, it's one of those things that his ideas backfired on him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because you look at UNLV. How many championships they get with the talent they had? Look at Duke. I mean, they had a really good run. How many national championships with the talent they had in that run? How many national championships did they get? North Carolina, Arizona got 2. You know, you were looking at the talent and what you had, but then you bring up programs like Michigan State. They didn't have the 5. Look at Michigan, the Fab 5. How many national championships did they win? I mean, so that is one of the most ignorant statements I've ever heard him say, because I can pop off 10 right off my hand. How many programs and teams had all the talent and didn't have, look at the John Wall years, look at all the Kentucky talent they had and how many championships, but you can factor that into other schools as well. So that's just somebody spewing out the mouth. He is an NFL guy. He is not a college basketball person. And that just shows you, Even at the top of these broadcasters, when you get them out of their game, out of their bubble, they do not know what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, the clear sign should be as big of a cowboy homer as he is. That was the first issue. So, you know, your opinion is skewed there. So,
yeah. And again, bless him. You know, he's, and that was the thing, like somebody had made, when that first came up, I just picked out the most cringe picture of him in Cowboys gear with his Jordans on, and he looked like he was going to the VFW to try to get a date after bingo. And I'm just, it was just, but that's him all the time when it comes to the Cowboys. And just, and again, crying. I mean, if it wouldn't have been for on air, he'd have been beat up. Like Shannon Sharpe would have ripped him. Mm-hmm. If he would have said that off air, what he went at him, but it was all in good, because now Shannon Sharpe's doing way better than Skip is when it comes to that back and forth. But he is just the whiniest baby when it comes to when he don't get somebody to view his way, and it's gotten horrible. And the older he gets, the worse the takes are getting.
Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, that's one of those things with Undisputed and First, to all the shows that he's done. It's, I've always been a fan to an extent, but you kind of have to take it in small doses. And then after he's gotten, but it's the same thing, you know, flip side, the kind of the one man show. I felt like years ago, I listened to Colin Cowherd day in, day out, every single morning. And then as he's gotten older, as he went to the West Coast and left ESPN doing his own thing, it's just kind of, you get to a point where you're just like, okay, I'm tired of listening to the no more Pac-12, you know. He was such a homer for USC and USC football that it was just unbearable to listen to, and anti-SEC and such, that it was just, it got old quick.
Well, you look at the evolution of, you know, what SportsCenter meant to us as kids and growing up. I think me and Andrew Ellis were going back and forth with that. Like John Anderson, I think 25 years and he decided to hang it up. I mean, you look at Stuart Scott and Patrick, Buchigross, Levy, I mean, all those guys, Scott Van Pelt, all those Berm, you know, Boomer, you know, all the people that were back in the day, and you could sit there and watch SportsCenter from 6 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the same show, but they had the catchphrases and how they, it wasn't 5 hours of people just having a debate, but that's all we have now. Mm-hmm. It's a male version of The View. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And you've got guys, and look at the podcasts that are popular on TikTok and social media. It's people that are debating and they pick a side, they die on that hill no matter what. There's nobody willing to be like, man, you're right. You made me switch to a different side. That's where we're at. I get sucked into it too. I'm not saying I'm above anybody when it comes to that, but that is where we're at. That is sports. When it comes to podcasts, when it comes to ESPN, you see First Take. I mean, you know, First Take, and then there was Get Up, and all these shows Around the Horn, PTN. I mean, everything that is debate, get your thoughts, and you pick a side so we can talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I know back in the day, especially, you know, 90s, early 2000s, you know, now I sit and there'll be a random TV show on as background noise, you know, typically something like maybe The Office that I've watched 100 times, but nothing I care to miss. That's how SportsCenter was back in the day. Mm-hmm. You're on your computer, you're doing something, and SportsCenter was on as your background noise. But, you know, nowadays it's the back and forth, it gets old quick. And so a lot of the sports podcasts and such, it's like, I for the most part, my news comes from posts, articles, social media. I listen to the podcast of a lot of the former players that are finally using it, you know, and a lot of that's just, they're talking about today's game, but then they're telling stories.
All the smoke. You know,
All the Smoke is one of my favorite. And, you know, especially when they get in with stories about Kobe or, you know, listening to Kevin Garnett talk about, you know, past stories with Tim Duncan and Michael Jordan and, you know, just stuff like that. That's what I love to listen to. And I've even, you know, pivot with Ryan Clark and
I know you're talking about, that's really good. But
Steelers guy, I like those too.
Yeah, I can't remember the other ones that are on there, but yeah, you got Rashad McCants, I think, and Gilbert Arenas. They do one, but they tiptoe the edge of that back and forth, and it was I had to laugh because I have to admit, just like probably some husbands won't admit, but you know, you get sucked into those reality shows with your wife. It's like watching a reunion show. You can watch the show and there's a little bit of arguing per episode, but you get to the reunion and it's 3 hours, three parts of just back and forth and yelling and screaming. And it's funny. It's like Bill Burr, the comedian, he was like, the number one thing you hear women say is they don't like drama. I'm tired of the drama, but that is the shows they go to is the ones that are those housewife shows, and you get sucked in it too. And you're like, yeah, screw her, you know, but it gives you that feel when you watch those podcasts. It's just back and forth arguing and they start yelling and talking over each other. And it's like, that's just like what I watch on Bravo.
Well, and I mean, you and I've talked about, yeah. You know, I watch Love is Blind on Netflix and I get disappointed when the reunion shows are just not that entertaining, not that much arguing, but you know, I get asked like, how do you still watch wrestling? How do you watch all the stuff that you watch? Mm-hmm. Yes, wrestling is scripted. Yes, it's drama. But at the same time, like everything, all your reality TV is scripted to an extent. Exactly. Too.
So. Well, and if it might not be scripted, but it's edited. I mean, that's where that loophole is. They'll be like, well, it's real, but we edit it to push a narrative. And that, again, that's where we're at. And we wonder why everybody's so damn angry all the time. That's, I mean, if you're a sports guy, you're watching these podcast back and forth shows. If you're a housewife or whatever, you're watching these Bravo shows, and then your husband's right there with you, and you're going feeding off each other. So yeah, that's the TV we're built with. It's not Leave It to Beaver anymore.
No, and especially, you know, if you're listening to them, say on your car ride home. You know you're too deep when you're sitting there yelling back at, you know, the radio if you're listening to one of the Arkansas guys on the radio in the morning or the afternoons or a podcast, and you start arguing back.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You'll sit there, and that's the thing, you'll say it on online or on the radio underneath so-and-so in Gravel Ridge, but you know, you wouldn't say it to them or if they, you see them at a game or nothing, it's all, like I said, the keyboard warrior stuff, But we're going to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to bring up New Kids on the Block. Officially, OU and Texas are a part of the league. I know it's half and half on how you feel about this theatrics and stuff of bringing them into the league. And then we'll wrap up the show with how much pressure is Pittman under this year? They got him. One outlet has him ranked as the number one with the most pressure in the SEC. We'll talk about that after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need. whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Metters Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the offices of Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Smith. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law office of Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. As we talked about before the break, we are welcoming officially the two new teams to the SEC and SEC Shorts. Man, did you get a chance to watch that video that they dropped today?
No, I started watching it and I've seen it posted several times, but I haven't watched the whole thing through.
It was really cool because they brought a bunch of the influencers and people online. They had the guy we had on from Alabama, Jermaine Funnyman, and they had the guy who always does the SEC videos and stuff. So they all brought them together as one. It was really cool to see them all come together and it was like bringing the new kids into class, you know, in the lunchroom. So it was funny to see that, but I feel for OU in a sense, because it's like they're the stepbrother in this. Everybody knows about, you know, Texas coming in and everything that Texas has said. You know, it's almost like, hey, Texas, you got to watch out for little brother here. You know, you got to watch out for OU. They're coming with you. And I know that there's going to be people that take that the wrong way, but I'm looking at the aspect of how much attention has Texas got come in the SEC compared to OU? Hardly any. I mean, yeah, there it's a little bit, but all eyes are on Texas and what they're going to bring to the table when it comes to the SEC. And I wouldn't be shocked if they did well. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, if they did very well. I know it's going to take some time for OU to adjust because they're dealing with Venables, a newer coach per se, and trying to get your roster set. But I really think that it's going to be must-see TV. And look, I'm not going to sit here and lie. You know, it was either Quinn Ewers or Coach Sark. I can't remember which one said that, you know, Texas is going to be everybody's biggest game. Well, to an extent it is, because it's the timing of this is the first year they're in the SEC. So they're going to be a lot of people's biggest game. Are they going to outdraw LSU, Alabama, or Auburn, Alabama? No, but they are going to be that big ticket item. Look at Arkansas. That's, you know, that's probably the top one Arkansas fans have circled when it comes to the SEC opponents.
Well, I know that, you know, being here at Fort Smith growing up, there's a lot of OU fans that are, you know, on my friends list that I see, you know, just that today started it really. It's like I'm already seeing, oh, we've joined the SEC and Arkansas is already avoiding scheduling us for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I know that's just the trash talk that's going to come with it. Yeah. But I honestly didn't see anything today, like posted, shared, or whatever on the Texas side of things. And maybe they did and I just overlooked it. But, you know, I feel like OU is very welcoming into this whole thing. Like I saw several posts from their social media departments about, you know, OU, SEC, you know, on all of their scoreboards around at the different arenas and stadiums on campus. It seems like they're a bit more understanding of what this means, what this is. They don't feel like that they're necessarily bigger than the SEC. Whereas I feel like flip side, we're possibly getting that vibe, that feeling from the Texas side of things, that they feel like that they're a bigger brand than what the SEC is.
Well, and a lot of that is, like I said, it goes both ways. We're feeding into that. And when I say we are, the SEC and the SEC media is feeding into it. You know, they're making the big theatrics of we're changing the logo, we updated the wheel and all this you're bringing, which it is a big deal because we don't know what this is going to lead to 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And now with Texas and OU in the conference, along with you have, you know, extended your college football playoff, there's more chances of now you have more teams, more quality teams that can make the CFP. So it goes both ways because look, you know, Longhorn, they tried to do their own thing with the Longhorn Network and all this stuff. You know, they've tried to be like when it comes to a brand, they tried to be a Notre Dame. They wanted to be their own entity and it's hard to do. And I don't even think really, I don't see why Notre Dame, but it's because NBC, they still get the money and all that, but people still watch it. You're still up there around Ohio State and in Michigan area. So you have a lot of people that still follow it or it wouldn't be there. But that goes back to what we're talking about with Cal and the brand and the success. Look, you're going to come in here and it's almost like Bobby Petrino coming to Arkansas. You're coming in here talking and pumping it up. There's a lot more pressure on Texas, though, than there is OU. Because OU is being the quiet one. You know, Texas is the one coming in. We're going to be everybody's biggest game. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So they better prove it. You know, it's almost like talk the talk, walk the walk. They're going to have to walk in here. And I don't know. I'd be interested to see. Does somebody humble them before they humble somebody else?
Well, and looking at, too, you know, Texas is coming in to a situation, a conference that they've got their old little brother back in Texas A&M. You know, no matter what happens with Texas A&M football, fact is your other yearly game besides the Red River Shootout, and I'm still going to call it that because that's still what it is to me.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you're coming back into a conference. You get to deal with Texas A&M again. And OU's getting to come into this that they're getting to ditch Oklahoma State. So it's kind of like they still have each other, but they're getting a monkey off their back with Oklahoma State and getting here to the SEC. And it's like Texas, you're gaining another one. You've got more people gunning for Texas than you're going to have gunning for Oklahoma.
That brings up a good point. And that's going to be my question tomorrow. And this gives everybody to think about. So outside of Texas, because, I mean, of course, the Red River Shootout, we know how Arkansas feels about Texas, and Texas is going to, you know, try to compete with Bama and LSU and stuff. Who's going to be OU's, you know, rival outside of Texas? What other team is going to be that rival for OU now that replaces Oklahoma State? Because you had two rivals. You had Texas OU, and then you had OU OSU. Who's going to take the place of OSU, Oklahoma State, for OU?
I mean, like it or not, from the standpoint of where Arkansas's football program is at right now, but it needs to be Arkansas. And I don't think that's a forced rivalry just because of proximity. I think that that is something that has been long wanted. Obviously, I think it is more on Arkansas's part. But at the same time, being here on the border in Fort Smith, there's a lot of people that would like to see it just so, you know what, they can say that they stomped Arkansas, or flip side, it could be Arkansas finally gets to shut them up. So I personally think Arkansas and OU need to be a thing yearly.
But think about this. You're leading to a good point. You got the Battleline trophy and you got the golden boot. All you need is a sideways one. You got the top bottom. Now you can have OU and make a sideways. You can almost put the puzzle together. Arkansas can have three. What insurance company will fit the bill on that?
I don't know, but I'm sure, you know, Basil will come up with a trophy really quickly. Hey,
you know, you made a good point, though. You have the boot. How about that? That could be our, I'll switch it up. You have the boot. You have the Battleline trophy. What's the OU Arkansas trophy going to be? Let's do that.
I would guess something either oddly shaped or something that goes back to Arkansas and OU's history.
Yeah.
As states. Whether it's something indigenous or something that...
The Indian, the Trail of Tears, yeah.
Yeah, something along that. But it, I think it all depends on who actually, you know, designs it, if Basil wants to have a hand in it.
We need to reach out to him. I think we're, you know, maybe I'll pose it. They'll play it on the Buzz 2 on Friday. He'll hear it, and they'll transition to the mother station, mothership over there at 103.7, and they'll ask. I think that's a really good point. I'm going to bring it up tomorrow. That's going to be the Hillbilly Realty question of the day tomorrow. What will be the name of the trophy between Arkansas and Oklahoma?
Because, you know, if they're getting 2 years, they don't have to rush it. Because we know, you know, it's not going to be for the first two seasons.
Maybe so that's why. They're giving them time to plan it. That's why they're giving them time to make a trophy.
That's you forced Arkansas, Missouri. He forced the battle line. This is something that two states, I think, actually want versus it being force-fed to us.
It's crazy the lack of times that they've played. You know, the amount of times that they've played each other. I mean, look, how many regular season games have they played? Because I know they played in a bowl game, but outside the Orange Bowl, I don't know. Like regular season matchups that you can, I do the Wikipedia stuff all the time, but
that's going to show you like everything.
But it will tell you Cotton Bowl, I think, or it will tell you if it was in a bowl game or not on the Wikipedia. But no, I mean that is a fun little side note to think about.
And let's not talk about the 103-0 win back in 1918. Okay, no, it does. So, all right. So the last three times they played were bowl games.
Okay.
So they haven't played a regular season game since 1926. And how about this? 2026, 100 years later, you start up the regular season series again.
100-year anniversary, the last game. Boom. New rivalry. Trophy's coming. A trophy will be there in 2026.
We just figured it out.
Yeah. So, all proceeds, all thanks. We're, you know, as much as we get, you know, people on here still in other content, hey, you heard it here first. So if there's any talk of this trophy between Arkansas and Oklahoma and the 100-year anniversary of the last regular season matchup, we got to take credit for it. And I want all credits and all mentions on social media moving forward.
So they played 12 regular season games, 1926 and prior.
Good gosh.
12.
So stopped.
All time, there have been 14 games. And we're...
How many of those Arkansas win?
Arkansas overall, let's see. So we'll take out those three. It looks like... 8-3, or Arkansas's 3-8.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what led to the Great Depression. Arkansas just kept on getting beat so bad by Oklahoma.
Two of those games were in Fort Smith, oddly enough. Huh. In 1916 and 1917, for whatever reason.
That's crazy. But
the more you know.
The more you know. Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. There we go. So in 2 years when they play, there's a trophy. We'll take credit for that. Everything on that, but we're going to finalize the show. We're talking about moving to football. And I don't know, did we get the graphic pulled up? I don't know if we got it on hand or not, but there was a graphic shared today on social media that listed the coaches in the SEC with the most pressure, Sam Pittman was listed at number one. And Adam, I don't know if you disagree. We didn't talk about, you know, where we stood on it before we started recording. You know, do you think there's another coach realistically that has more pressure on him to win than Sam Pittman?
Okay, so I'm going to say no. I agree that he is at the top of that list. Now you start getting into to Bauer in Alabama. I mean, you're following Nick Saban, so of course he's, you know, I think he was third on the list. So that's up there. I mean, I think that Pittman and Billy Napier are truly the two that for the last couple few years, there's been that talk, there's been that speculation. Are they going to get fired? When are they going to get fired, et cetera? So I agree that one and two is correct in that sense.
I'm going to be petty for a second. I'm going to say Shane Beamer at Carolina. I think he should have the most pressure because, look, you played in the East. You come in here and you had Spencer Rattler. You had some good receivers. You had a good you brought in some good assistants. And you come in with this flamboyant attitude and you finally beat Big Brother one time. And it's weird how some of these people have these Brett Bielema-like seasons where you get this peak and you ride your on one game. You know, you finally beat Big Brother one time and you're like, okay, we're on our way to 10 wins. Which, mind you, this is the program who handed out rings for winning 11 wins. And that's the peak of South Carolina football. You know? So, yeah, I'm going to be petty for a second. I'm going to say, but realistically, Shane Beamer is on the hot seat. You're playing in the East. You know, you've got two more schools coming in. Look, whether you like it or not, the effect of OU and Texas coming into the conference, and now there's 12 spots in the college football playoff, there's going to be more pressure on the SEC to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are that program. And I'll throw the Big Ten in there, Big 10, or how many other teams is in that. There's a lot of pressure on those two conferences to get as many teams in that college football playoff as possible. And they had the talent. They had everything. He had the nostalgia of who his father was. He come in. You've got the third down crow. You've got, you know, the sandstorm. You've got all this stuff. You have a great fan base. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, their fan base is very good, but the production's not been there.
Mm-hmm.
Your highlight of your year is getting dumped with mayonnaise. That's where you're at. So there's a lot of pressure on him. So yes, it's easy to pick Sam Pittman. And this is being outside the rivalry, outside of my personal opinion. I guarantee you, there is a lot of pressure on Shane Beamer. And I'm telling you, they have a 4 or 5 win season. I would not be surprised if he's gone.
I agree with that. Now, you know, I think I'm looking at this list still, and, you know, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt being at 4. I mean, he was the guy they wanted. He's from Vanderbilt, et cetera. And it's just kind of like,
well, put that graphic up again that way, because to me, it's weird. It's like, you know, Sam Pittman's the easy choice because of Bobby Petrino, and we know what that is. I mean, again, I think that's well, everybody's going to say Sam Pittman. It is, and there is a legitimate case for him to be at number one. But if you really want to look at, okay, Leiby, of course, you're following the Pirate. Venables, you're going to have to. I mean, we're talking about coming into this year and this year only. Take DeBoer at number three. Just because you're coming into Nick Saban's shoes, look, you're not going to be done after 1 year unless you just go 3-8 or whatever, 3-9.
It's going to take Alabama's going to take if you have 2 to 3 years of 8 to 9 wins, you're done.
You're done.
You're going to get 2 to 3 years. Sarkisian, you're going on the Texas history, the Texas lore that, you know, that's why you're always going to be on the hot seat unless you are competing for a national title. or at least that's the way I see them. But, you know, Venables is kind of at that spot that they're giving him time. So that's, you know, him being so low on the list.
But you look at Brian Kelly, I wouldn't put him at six because, again, I really see like Brian Kelly like Ole Miss baseball. Not now, but if you keep on that downward trend of coming off a national championship, and yes, you just had a Heisman Trophy winner, you come off of that lull of now you're having, look, let's go off LSU standards, 7-8 win seasons or even a 9-win season. They have a 7-9-8 or whatever. You're in that region. And with what he was supposed to do, you're going to have that. And he was brought in to win another national championship, mm-hmm. you know, and look, they're going to look at it and be like, well, if Ed O can do it, you better be able to. But let's look at the staff and the players that Ed Ogeron had. I mean, let's be real. They had a very, very stacked squad who won a national championship, but one of the best teams ever. I mean, you could put them in 1A and 1B, them and the Miami Hurricanes team is the best teams ever. You can argue either or for them. But you're looking at this list. Vanderbilt, I mean, do we count them, though? They go through coaches every 2 or 3 years.
And that's why I'm shocked to you see know, them have them there, because I'm just kind of like, at what standard are you putting Clark Lee? Because there's really not – I mean, are you hoping to get a bowl game?
Yeah.
Like what's –
They're hoping to get their damn stadium done.
And then even Kirby Smart being at 9, I'm like, he's not going anywhere.
You look at Lane down. They're just putting – I mean, you're just putting people in spots. You know what I'm saying? That's where that's going from.
But, and we've seen, too, with Tennessee in the past. I mean, one bad year and your coach is gone. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's what it would be for Heupel, but you have about enough time or something happened, whatever. I think Tennessee has been quick in the past to get rid of coaches.
Yeah. Because they're living off that 99, you know, Peyton Manning, what was that, Peerless Price, you know, the national championship after Manning graduated. But it also, you look at Missouri at 10. I would put him at 15 or 16. I would put Drinkwitz as one of the safest jobs.
Because I mean,
look at where the program was and where he is now.
And he had his first winning season and they gave him an extension.
Exactly. So think about this. How safe, let's flip the script for argument's sake. How safe will Sam Pittman's job be if he wins 8 or 9 games this season?
I think he would get to leave on his terms versus being pushed out the door. Meaning if he chose to, like if things were good, he retires, hands it over to somebody else.
Meaning he will be here as long as Petrino's here. I mean, correct. You know, that's the way I say it. And if that's the fact that they don't, all right, I'm ready to retire, and they give Petrino the job. Mm-hmm. Sam Pittman wins 8-9. Everything, it's just going to be like the last time he won 9 games. Everything was forgotten. Let's bring the bowling ball out. But Arkansas deserved that, because I don't want to go back and like just a few years ago, they're winning 9 games and everybody praised them. That's what 9 wins does for this program. You know, you want to be proud of your program, but you want to be realistic at the same time. Arkansas wins 7 games. And I'm not talking bowl game. I'm talking about regular season. If you win 7 games, you should be ecstatic. Because again, what are you really bringing in talent-wise in this new SEC? You win 7 games after coming off a 4-8 season with really you're replacing your quarterback. You got your running back back. You now again, let's give credit. You got your, granted they stay healthy. You got your tight ends back. I mean, but anyway, you win 7 games. Razorback fans should be ecstatic, because now that shows what Bobby Petrino can do with a quarterback. You got your tight ends healthy. Everybody stays healthy. You want that upward trend. Mm-hmm. You don't want that 9 or 10 win season and then go back down. Would you love a 9 or 10 win season? Oh, yeah. They'd put a statue up if he won 10 wins. You know, rightfully so, though. To go through everything he's been through and almost losing his job, and then him and Petrino put things together and they win 8-9 games. Yeah, that's awesome. But that's what we want to happen.
And we're to that point. I mean, you know, I've seen the comparisons to some folks thinking that we're back to the Chad Morse level. I think people, some have forgotten how bad that was. You know, I don't, it's not to that point. It's not going to be to that point. Essentially, you know, yes, are my predictions for Arkansas to go 3-9? They are. But some of that is pettiness and some of that is saltiness.
Proof.
You know,
prove to me you can win. I'm four wins. I'm 4 wins. Give me 4 wins this year.
I'm at the, I will pick a winning season or predict a winning season when they put two winning seasons back to back. And I don't think that's too far fetched. No. I'm just going off of, I'm tired of every season going 8-4 or picking 8-4, 9-3. And then we just get embarrassed.
Or you have that good year and everybody thinks, you know, it's, they're playing that celebration song and you're getting hyped. And then basketball has a good year. Baseball has a good year. Now look, what, 2 years later, 3 years later, was it 21?
Yeah, 21.
So look at 21. Now we're 3 years, 2 years past that, 3 years, you know, 3 years past it. You're right back to where you were with Chad Morse, but let's give some grace. I don't want to hear people compare this Chad Morse to Sam Pittman because Sam Pittman actually won 9 games. I don't care what team, who he had, staff, this and that. But you also got to look that you went from John L. Smith to Chad Morse. Now you're going from Chad Morse to Sam Pittman. You had a little decline. Let's not forget this guy's never been a head coach in any kind of head coach, much less coming in the SEC. It's hard. We got, I mean, as much as yes, but let's see what he does with a good offensive coordinator and an up-and-coming defensive coordinator. Let's see what happens with this. But again, like you said, and every Razorback fan should deserve two winning seasons. You should want that every year. Arkansas should be bowl eligible every single year. Mm-hmm. Every year, Arkansas should be going to a bowl game. That's winning your four non-cons and praying to win two SEC games. That's not too much to ask.
Well, that's looking back, you know, at the Chad Morse days, I mean, one thing that we can say is he could, to an extent, recruit, whether it was false promises, the used car salesman, whatever. You know, he recruited better than Sam Pittman is recruiting. You know, flip side, how would it be with, say, Sam Pittman as coach, your coordinators that we've got, if he could recruit a bit better? If we could get up into the high teens, low 20s recruiting classes versus 40s, mid 30s, high and low 40s, would we be in a better situation than 4-8? Or is this solely on the coaching and not the recruiting?
I think it's management. I think
this is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think we've really lost of... Let's just talk about Nick Saban. You know, Saban can get them because he is Nick Saban. He don't have to recruit. You know, you get to the point, but then you go down to like Kirby Smart. Kirby, you don't have to recruit because you're Georgia and you're Kirby Smart. But what I'm getting at is, you got a guy like Sam Pittman, and you want him to be your CEO. You want him to just oversee everything. That's the jobs of your offensive coordinators and your coordinators, to bring in the talent. And then you help them develop. You help your offensive coordinators and your defensive coordinators be better leaders. That's their job. Your job is to oversee everything. Now, if you can bring players in and you start winning, but all you... I keep on bringing Clemson into this, but they had the perfect concoction of a good head coach. He could recruit, but you also had a very good defensive coordinator and you had a very good offensive coordinator. You had a staff that worked together and they built this program. It took them 7 years, but they built a program. And again, it took 7 years to finally get to the point to where they were one of the elite programs in the country. This is not, you can't do this overnight. So you've got to get to the point to where Sam Pittman's got to trust in, let Bobby Petrino run the full offense, and you've got to give him the keys. You've got to give Travis Williams the keys to the defense. You got to have this perfect team, trusting everybody, Get off the ego trip. Stop worrying. Quit looking over your shoulder about your job. You need to worry about what's in front of you and not what's behind you. That's what this program needs. And if they start winning, it's going to come with it. But you on it, you could be a half-ass head coach. Edo, he is not one of the best college football coaches of all time. But look what he's done with his coordinators and the talent that he had. Won a national championship.
You know, looking at Pittman, when he came in, he said that he was going to be the CEO. He said that was going to be his style, but we haven't seen it.
Exactly. But he's had to kind of force his hand because of it's almost like you're playing a video game and you're playing that coach mode. You're starting with what pieces that you can – that game on your football on the phone where you're playing the like Retro Bowl, but it's the college version. You're building your team up with the coaches and stuff that you have. You start winning, you can get better coordinators. Look, he's been handed a very good offensive coordinator. He's got a guy on defensive side that can come in and they can – together, they work together. You start building talent. Just because you go 5-7 this year or 6-6 this year, it's not too bad of a fail. You cannot go 4-8 again. My peak for this is six. Six wins is the most that I see this team winning this year. And that's showing some grace. But if things – they can work together as a staff and you got talent there, you could win six games and become bowl eligible, and you get that monkey off your back of, now I ain't got to worry about my AD being on my ass about, am I losing my job? That's gone. Now let's build it. Now, okay, all right, we got this win. Let's start building a program. Work to seven, work to eight. And every year you're working in between 8 and 9 wins, maybe have a 7-win season here and there. But that is your standards as this program. Be bowl eligible every year. You get to that mark, like you said, put 2 winning seasons together. Then go from there and see where you can get.
So sub 6 wins. See out.
Whew. 5-7, no. 4-8, yes. Because if you go 5-7, you've had to win an SEC game or two. Because say you drop an OSU game, you drop the Oklahoma State game, and you win 2 SEC games, you're still technically 5-7. So no, 5-7, no. 4-8, yeah. Because that means you've won all your non-cons or I don't know. But it's tough because you could very simply go, you could win 3 games. You could lose that Oklahoma State game. So,
you know, I understand that, you know, the 5-7, you know, it's an improvement. Yeah. I'm skeptical. Part of me wants to say that, you know, anything below 6 wins will cost him. But it's tough. I think a lot of that, too, is going to go into how lopsided are some of those losses. Yeah,
the end of the season.
You know, is it a you can tell the team has given up? Maybe not necessarily the coaches, but has the team given up?
So. Yeah, that is a very good point. Because, I mean, you start off 4-4 or whatever, and then you drop the last 4 games. You know, that could tie into it, too. But you really look at the schedule, you know, UAPB, Oklahoma State, UAB, Auburn. And then you got that, again, I say it's daunted every game until it becomes a home and home. Texas A&M, being in Arlington, it's a curse. And there's even been people saying, you know, what if Sam Pittman's out by the Tennessee game and we talked about it last week about having a bye week to prepare for LSU, and Bobby Petrino is the interim head coach. You still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games left. So it's going to be one of the things. Do you show effort? But to be the devil's advocate of that, where does the depth play into that? You can only do so much with that depth. You can have we've seen that. We've seen, but we've also been able to tell the difference. Is this depth, or are they just giving up? If they just are gassed out at halftime and they're trying to stay up in par, because I mean, again, you're finishing your year with Tennessee, LSU. Well, hold on, the last 4 games, 5 games, you got Mississippi State, could be, that's a toss up win, but you got Ole Miss, Texas, La Tech, and Missouri. And we're going to start really deep diving, and Adam, hold me to this next Monday when we're talking about it. I really want to break down that last few games. I don't want to go into it now because we don't have much time left, but how much goes into that stretch is tough and could very well, you could go 1-3 in that stretch or you could go 2-2. How much do we show that grace of you're gassed out, you're playing the SEC, and that is one hell of a final stretch to play in. So we'll keep tabs on that. That's what we'll talk about, of course. Well, we might even bring, yeah, no show Thursday because of the 4th of July, but we'll bring that up next Monday and really deep dive into that last part of the schedule. The closer we get to SEC media days and the football schedule and the start of the season.
It's here. You know, we'll start breaking down position groups, the schedules, and go from there. But week by week, we'll be getting more and more ready for football.
Yeah. And Logan brings up a point, but what I'm getting at is the depth. Let's look at the depth of the team and how much depth we have on this roster. And you're going through that final stretch with your bye week being in second week of October. So, I mean, again, you can, well, that looks like they have two bye weeks this year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't all have it in front of me.
Because you have a bye week or something. Yeah, you in between Nova, the Ole Miss and Texas game, you have another bye week. So that adds a difference to it. But no, it's just one of the things, again, we'll talk about more when we get into our summer series and we start really deep diving into the schedule. But it's something really to think about when it comes to the schedule. And we can say it over and over and over, but that's also with the fact that now OU and Texas is in the league and there's always going to be tougher opponents now on every schedule. So it's time to piss or get off the pot.
That is really weird having two bye weeks. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, well. Yeah. Adam, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
No. Everybody be safe Thursday.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're in city limits and you have neighbors, don't start shooting off fireworks yet.
I live in the country. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, yes, everybody have a safe 4th of July. We really I don't know if it's going to be bad or not, but we're flying out Wednesday going down to Destin for the 4th. So we're going to brave the airport a day before the 4th. Hopefully everybody's already been down there. They're going, but we're going to go to Fort Walton Beach. It's one of our favorite places to go travel. But yeah, I hope everybody has a safe 4th of July. For Adam Hall and Porter Hayes, brought to you by Vision Exteriors. We're brought to you by Arkansas Brewing Company, Sterling Soap, Believe Network, and Bet Online. We'll come to you next Monday after the 4th of July week. Everybody have a safe travels and a safe holiday.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.